Let us pray. May the spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The first seven verses of today's Bible reading are often read at funerals, but the hearers seldom know their context as part of the discussion between Jesus and his disciples at the Last Supper. To help set that context, I'm going back to the closing verses of John 13. Judas Iscariot has left the room. Jesus knows that Judas is going to the chief priests to betray him, and that betrayal will lead to his crucifixion and death. So he tries to prepare his disciples for what is to come by saying, "Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come." As might be expected, Peter, dear and impetuous Peter, jumps in asking, "Lord, where are you going?" Speaking personally to Peter, Jesus replies, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow, but afterwards you will follow." That night, Jesus did not have the strength to follow Jesus to his death. In fact, he had denied knowing Jesus three times. But years later, Peter had the strength to die a martyr's death. Jesus then goes on to address all the disciples in the opening words from today's reading. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Jesus knew that the disciples were unsettled by the increasing hostility from the religious authorities following his raising of Lazarus from the dead and the events of the past week. And now they were also troubled and distressed at the idea of him going away and leaving them. Jesus also knew he was going to die a cruel and public death, and the disciples' world would collapse in chaos around them. They would be engulfed by fear, bewilderment, the loss of hopes and dreams that follow sudden death. Jesus wants to comfort the disciples and to strengthen them for what is to come. So he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Meaning, don't be upset, don't be afraid. Hold fast to your belief in God, but also believe in me. You know me. Believe in what I have done and said. Believe the miracles, the healings, and the teaching. Remember them. And don't be troubled. Believe me. Trust me. Trust in what I am saying now. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Jesus is going to his Father's many-roomed house to prepare a place for his disciples. And then he will return to welcome them into his Father's house, where they will dwell with him forever. No wonder this passage is so often read at funerals, for the mourners, like the disciples and all bereaved, could be engulfed by fear, bewilderment, and the loss of hopes and dreams. At such times, as many of us know, and many of us have learned during the pandemic, there is only one thing to do: stubbornly hold on to trust in God. If in the darkness of death, we can believe and trust in God's love, even the unbearable becomes bearable. And even in the darkness, there is a glimmer of light as we are held in God's love. In God's house there are many dwelling places. On earth, houses become overcrowded. Travellers are turned away from full inns or hotels. Some are just not welcome. It is not so in our Father's house. For heaven is as large as God's heart, and there is room for all. And Jesus has gone on before to prepare a place for us, and he will be there to welcome us home. Believe it, for as Jesus says to the disciples, I would not tell you this if it were not true. What a wonderful promise and a wonderful hope we have, that our destiny is to be in heaven, in our Father's house, with him and Jesus. But Jesus does not just say, there is a room prepared in my Father's house for each of you. He goes on to say, you know the way to where I go. Now Thomas, who questions Jesus, saying, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Perhaps Thomas spoke for the other disciples and for many people. Thomas wanted a clear roadmap, and don't we all? Dear Thomas, he's one of my favourite characters. Honest, questioning, practical, willing to express doubts, and unwilling to pretend that he understood what he did not. Jesus does not rebuke Thomas for his doubts. Instead, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those words might have sounded strange to Thomas and the other disciples. They are words that many people then and today would object to. But to us who believe in Jesus, these are words that speak the central truths of our faith and hope, the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. For Jesus is God incarnate, God born as a baby in a stable in Bethlehem, who suffered and died on the cross to bring us forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. Other religious teachers and preachers in this church can only point people to the way, the truth, and the life of God. We are not the way, the truth, the life, or the way to the Father, but fallible human beings. Unfortunately, most congregations understand that. But what does it mean for our daily lives to say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? When reading the Bible, we can see from Jesus' life how to live. Lives of service, love, mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. In our prayers and continuing relationship with him, he will lead us, guiding, rebuking, forgiving, and strengthening us to walk in his way, the way of life, the way to the Father, and the way to eternal life. We've all known ministers and church leaders who speak of the truth. Some of us have felt betrayed when we find out that their lives do not match their teaching. But Jesus not only speaks the truth, he is the truth, and we can trust what he says because he embodies the truth in both words and actions. Many people want the good life, and when their search proves empty, they say life is not worth living. In Jesus we have a life worth living, Freed from the power of sin, we can live life in all its fullness, in the sure and certain hope of eternal life. If we believe what Jesus says and does and walk in his way, he will bring us to God, our Father, and our everlasting home. But Jesus does not just tell the disciples that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to God the Father except through him. He says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip is now the disciple that wants clarification, and he asks, Lord, show us the Father. Philip, one of the first disciples, brought others like Nathanael and the Greeks to Jesus. He sees things in a practical way, hence his comment that feeding the 5,000 would cost over half a year's wages. Now he wants a vision of God, perhaps like the one that Moses received. He who brought others to Jesus does not know that Jesus is God incarnate. To see Jesus is to see God, because Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in him. To see Jesus' healing miracles was to see God at work. To see the feeding of the 5,000 was to see the abundance of God. To hear Jesus speak was to hear the very words of God. After explaining all that to Philip, Jesus goes on to promise that those who believe in him will do everything he does, and even greater works, because what is asked in his name will be granted. This does not just mean tucking Jesus' name onto our prayers, but being in a loving relationship with him. So we are in him and he is in us. Then our prayers will be in obedience to his will and made out of our love for him and those he has called us to serve. And then he will answer our prayers. But first we must come to know Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For he is our way, our truth, and our life, and the only way to our Father. Amen.